Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
Hey, welcome to episode 59. Just want to say thanks for tuning in, and just so glad that you're here spending some time with us. I don't know about you, but I think I'm so full from Thanksgiving, although I have a piece of pumpkin pie still left in the fridge, and after we're done here, I think I'm going to go kill that, and it's going to be amazing. Now that Thanksgiving's over, now Christmas is starting. We have a bunch of great new Christmas music that's coming out of CCM here. All the Christmas lights are coming up. Decorations are coming out. And I think I've only heard the same song in the stores four times now. That count is going to be going up quickly. But for this episode here, I don't want to talk about Christmas. I want to talk about our first returning guest. It is John Cooper from a little rock band called Skillet. And I had the chance to sit down with John last year while he was on tour with, I believe it was Alter Bridge. And we started talking about his social media posts that were devotionals and just starting to get more active there. And then now this year, he has a book coming out in the not too distant future. So I thought with this episode, we'll do a little bit of before and after. I'll play a little bit of the conversation from last year here, and then we'll go into my conversation this year. A really cool before and after, I think. So let's start with the part of the conversation from last year. Here we go. So one of the other things that I've seen that you've been doing lately is just posting and just kind of being a little bit more vocal about what's happening. Started with the post about...
Just about what kind of what's happening with Christian leaders and leaving the faith, et cetera.
So since you've rehashed that over and over again, let's do it again.
Sure.
I'm kidding. Actually, the power of what you're doing here is incredible. I've actually used that as devotional. And then you've continued that down the line. I remember there's a post talking about friendship and... You don't always have to agree with everybody to be respectful.
Right.
You know, to love somebody as well. I think there was one on purity. There's one on bringing your Bible to school.
Yeah.
And then the recent one, which we'll talk about here in just a second. Was this something that was kind of bubbling under the surface and that just kind of kicked it over the top? Or is that something that just is a response and it kind of grew?
For the last few years, I say five, I've been wondering, how can I get more vocal? How can I help, especially young people, in their walk with Christ? Because culture is getting exceedingly more confusing by the day.
Absolutely.
And I think that a lot of Christians are confused, and I can understand why. I think a lot of people my age, which are parents, are looking at culture going like scratching their head, like I just don't know where to start. And I've been doing quite a lot of research on the last 5 or 6 years. I've read 200 books, I bet, on various things, trying to put together what has happened in culture that is leading us to be so confused. And so I'd wanted to do something, I didn't know what. I started doing a podcast last year that I was like, maybe I'll try to delve into it without seeming too preachy and just didn't know what to do. When Joshua Harris, his thing came out, I read it and my wife was like, you need to write something about this. And I was like, nobody wants to hear this from me. I don't want to. Nobody cares. And then, you know, another person came out. I was like, you know what? I'm just, my wife again, actually. Corey was like, you need to write something. And I was like, I don't know if I will. Nobody's going to care. And I almost didn't post it. I wrote it. I spent several hours getting it right. Yeah. And then I'm like, I'm not even going to post this because nobody cares what I have to say about it. I'm a nobody. And an amazing thing happened. I think it was just a matter of everybody saw what I wrote. And the silent majority of the church in America was like, yeah, that's what we think too. That's what we're all thinking. Maybe didn't know how to say it. Maybe didn't have a voice to say it, a platform. But I think the fact that it was coming not from a preacher, an established, you know, traditional church person, maybe made it more poignant perhaps. But that's what that's all about. I do plan to do more. And a lot of it's because I'm just like, man, I feel like these answers are really clear. I just don't think the church is always doing the best job of understanding culture. For instance, church leadership is made up of a lot of different kinds of gifts, right? Some people are really great pastors, meaning they take care of people and they shepherd. Maybe the pastor's not always the best preacher. Some churches have two guys, or one of them pastors and one of them teaches. There's lots of different ways that you have gifts. One of the gifts that I think we almost need now is someone who really understands what's happening in culture, because you have social media culture that is its own animal. And I don't mean that means that this person is necessarily even employed by the church or he's a preacher, but somebody to look into things and go, here's the trend of what's happening. Here's what young people are being taught. A lot of the issues of the day are being framed in a way that is really not accurate and not intellectual. One of those things being, you just mentioned, friendship. One of the things you're constantly hearing in culture right now is you have to accept everybody. And I go, oh, I do accept everybody. Well, no, you don't, because you said that Christians shouldn't A, B, or C. And I'm like, oh, no, I accept them. I just don't endorse what they're doing. And true friendship tells people what you think. I can't believe we live in a time when you're not allowed to disagree with someone else's choices. It's their business, but I can still have my own opinion.
I can be your friend, but not agree with everything that you agree with.
Of course.
But I'd still love to go have coffee.
No, that's exactly right. I don't understand how we got to a place where we can't do that. I think that's really important for Christians to understand that all of the ways that we answer these really confusing questions need to be from the Word of God. It can't be like a mixture of Bible and psychology and Taylor Swift's tweets and whatever. It has to be answered from the Word of God. Otherwise, we've got no hope, and it'll just keep changing. All the rules will keep changing.
So now let's fast forward a year, let's come to the present and caught back up with John, and we chat about his book. I just want to be real with y'all. I've been working on how to record some of these conversations while away from my normal rig. Still a work in progress, but I'm really excited to share this conversation with John here. I really tried to get giveaway of signed copies. It didn't work. Apparently, I don't have the authority to promise free signed copies of the book, but John will tell you how to get a copy of the book. And without further ado, here's my conversation this year with John Cooper. So we're hanging out with John Cooper, and you are actually our first returning guest on the podcast. So here's a very exclusive honor. It's not quite as good as the We Love Award that you guys swept up this past year. Well, I think you guys got four of them. Not quite as prestigious, but I'll still call it
something. I think it is. I feel good about it. I think this is good. I feel real good.
The one thing I'm disappointed about is we've never got our Outbearded episode series going yet. We talked about that a little bit, but we've never got that going.
It needs a theme song. Outbearded. You know what I mean?
Just for the record, you are still very much outbearding me. Like, it hasn't done anything different in the last year.
That's funny. I'll work on a theme song. I'll let you know if I get a hit.
Maybe we could just make it a YouTube series.
Yeah, it'll be huge.
Absolutely. It'll blow up, like, viral. Well, can we say viral right now?
No. Not good.
Not even 5 minutes in and we've already failed here. No, I've already failed.
That's right. I never fail.
So when we talked a little bit last year, you were just at the front end of just really being active on social media, starting to post more content about just the things that are going on about culture. We just heard that conversation from last year. And now, fast forward a year, you're off of social media and now into print.
Yeah. My first book. I'm so very excited about it, man. It's been a cool journey. Yeah, I think it kind of started when I really began noticing the world changing a lot. Was like 2012, 2013. I started like I feel like a fish out of water. Like, what is happening to society? I literally don't understand it. I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand the things people are saying, not just in society, but even in the church, it started happening.
Yeah.
And we can talk more about that. But that kind of began this journey. A few years ago, I started going, what can I do to help make a difference? And I didn't want to be another person screaming on social media, another person throwing my opinion. I just like, hey, I'll let other people do that. I'm just going to do my thing. The more I waited, the more I just realized if there is no rebuttal
to the crazy things we're hearing in the world every week, if there's no rebuttal to it, there can't be a conversation. There can't be an argument. And I just felt I need to start saying some of the things that I believe, some of the things that I think. And it has led up to finally, I've written a book about it. And the book comes out very soon. It's called Awake and Alive to Truth. And I'm so very excited. Very evangelistic book. And I'm excited to get it out there.
In the year since we've spoken, the world has just gone absolutely crazy between race riots, which came to your back door. We also have the virus. We've had the elections. I mean, so much crazy stuff has happened in this last year. And one of the things that I've heard is, oh man, 2020 was supposed to be the year of vision. And it's supposed to be the year of clarity. 2020 vision. And it's not. Look at all this crazy stuff. And I had to take a step back and say, what if it is? I mean, all the stuff that we've seen in the last year, what if we are getting some clarity? What if we are seeing some of what culture is happening around us?
Yeah, so well, I think that what you're saying is really important. I mean, I'm going to get into a little bit of history here, but when you look into revolutions, whether it was Lenin in Russia and in Cuba or Czechoslovakia, when you look at the way that these revolutions begin, a lot of people don't know what's happening. And a lot of times people are even fighting with the revolution. They want the revolution because they believed it was going to be something different than it was. And so that is why, without getting crazy into history, which I'm not like an amazing history buff, but that is the reason that even in history, a lot of people have heard this term. You've ever heard the term useful idiots? Yeah. I'm sure people have heard that.
Oh, yeah.
The useful idiot. That comes from communist propaganda. It was during this time when communism, they were trying to push it to the people. And there was a group of sometimes religious people who were fighting. They wanted communism because they believed that communism was going to take care of the poor. It was going to put everybody on an even playing field, and it's going to bring more equity and more social justice and yada, yada. And then after the communist revolution happened, those very people, those a lot of times Catholics or Christian people that were thinking communism was going to be great, when they found out what it meant was, is all right, now you're not allowed to speak what you believe about Jesus because there's no religion allowed. You don't have the freedom to speak what you want. You don't have the freedom to assemble and worship God like you want. When they realized what was happening, a lot of those same people that fought for the communist revolution were then imprisoned, and some of them were killed. But a lot of the communist regime would refer to those people as useful idiots. They were useful for what we wanted to do, but they were just too dumb to understand it. And so it's very good that 2020 has been an unveiling, an absolute unveiling of what this ideological social justice movement is. A lot of it sounds really good, but it's having really devastating effects. And I think even, you know, where I live in Kenosha, we had some of the BLM protests here that turned into riots. People came in from all over the nation into my tiny town and burned down the downtown. And that was a real turning point for a lot of people, that they all of a sudden went, wait a minute, maybe these movements aren't all 100% good. Maybe there's some not good stuff happening and it's worth looking at. So I do think you're right. Disillusionment can be a good thing, because disillusionment is the removal of an illusion. And even if reality is horrific, at least you're getting a clear picture of reality.
So to peel on that a little bit, it's not that some of these things aren't valid. Like,
yes.
Ending racism is absolutely great cause to get behind. But, you know, a lot of the movements and a lot of the stuff that hijacks what we're looking to do and what needs to happen and steers it off course is where it starts to get a little dangerous.
100% absolutely. I mean, that is the problem, honestly, is that there are things, obviously, that everybody knows that need to be fixed in the world. And racism is one of those things. Poverty is one of those things. Extreme poverty is one of those things. Opioid addiction, addiction in general. We can go down all those lists of things. Divorce, child abuse, the fact that we've got, what's the percentage now of children raised by only one parent? It's extraordinary. There are a lot of things that need to be fixed. Racism is one of those things. And racism is our country's greatest sin, right? You know, we came in what we do to the Native Americans, or indigenous peoples, whatever the right word to call it now. And indigenous peoples, absolutely. We did horrific things. Slavery, horrific things. So racism is that core issue for America. There's no question about it. The problem is not understanding all of the incredible philosophical differences behind some of those movements. A lot of it's angel of light scenario. You know, the scripture that says the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. He makes it seem like he's saying good stuff and he's doing good things, but in reality, it's actually not good. It is against what Christ says. It's against the word of God. That's a lot of what's going on, and it's getting very difficult to discern what they are. So unfortunately, you have to begin to understand philosophy, politics, and history to really, in my opinion, get a good picture of how we can confront these things. But I will end with this. Still, the best answer for all of these things to be made right is not politics. It's Jesus Christ. It's faith in a God that can give you a brand new heart to help you love people that you used to not love, right? Even to love people who hate you, to love your enemies, to pray for your enemies. It is the Spirit of Christ that can cause us to be regenerated, that we can begin to get rid of racial thoughts or xenophobic thoughts, like whether it's against a race or, let me give you an example. I love Walmart. When I go to Walmart, there's always somebody there cussing at their kids. Have you ever noticed that? There's always yelling at their kids, and most of the time they're white, to be honest with you. So that's not a racial thing. That's more like, I don't like those people. I have that feeling of, I don't like those people. But then I realize I need to pray for those people. They need Jesus. So I know that's a really long answer. I'm sorry, but I think it's important to say that Jesus Christ is still the answer for those things, not politics. I love politics. Not that it can't help, but Jesus is the answer for those problems.
At the end of the day, that's the answer. Talk a little bit about the book and talking about culture and what we're seeing and discerning culture from a biblical standpoint.
This is why I got so passionate about writing this book, is because when I said 2012, everything was changing, not just the world, but in Christianity, I was hearing people say the weirdest stuff. And I was going, wait a minute, I've been a Christian since I was 5 years old. I've been raised in church. I've read a ton of Christian books, a ton of theology. I've read the Bible several times. You are saying something I've never heard before. And that should be a little bit alarming. And it doesn't sound right to me, but I don't know exactly why. And so I began this journey of not just studying theology, but what I found out was that I knew it wasn't right, but I didn't understand where it was coming from. And I had to go outside of theology to understand where it was coming from. So I began to read philosophy, political philosophy, economics, Darwin's evolution, even atheist philosophers like Nietzsche and people like, where's all these things coming from? And what I boiled it down to is the fact that we no longer live in a society that believes that there is such a thing as absolute truth. And I don't mean that we argue about what is true. I mean that we don't believe there is anything that's true. And once you wrap your head around the fact that that's the bedrock of our culture, then you can begin to understand all the other things. And I want to shout this from the rooftops. But, you know, Christians, if you're wondering why you're hearing brand new stuff, it's because we don't believe in truth anymore. And if you don't believe in truth, that the sky is blue, or that there actually is a sky for sure, that this life that you are listening to me talk right now, and it is real, you're not perceiving me saying something different than what I'm actually saying. I am saying words, and those words have definition that should mean a thing. You are listening to me. If we can't agree on those things, then nothing is going to be true. And as soon as you begin to believe that, then you can read the Bible through a filter of relativism. And all that relativism means is basically that there's no absolute truth. There is relative truth, right? And yep. So once you believe in relative truth, well, you can read the Bible like that. And Jesus's words can mean something totally different to me than they mean to you, which that actually shouldn't be the case, because we have a Bible and we understand the people that Jesus was speaking to. We know their culture. We know what he was trying to say. We've got a pretty good idea that we understand what he means within reason. So if you begin to look at everything through relative truth, there will be no foundation for your life. Guess what happens when there's no foundation for your life? Everybody believes that something else is good. So I say, I think that violence is bad. And someone else says, well, I think that violence is good as long as it's for a good reason. You see what I'm saying? All of a sudden that happens. And you can say that about anything you want. I think that divorce is bad. One of the things I wrote in my book, I wrote a story, a true story, but I told a story in my book about one of my friends. He's like, yeah, one of my best friends is going through a divorce. And that would be bad, except that the husband is leaving the wife because he has discovered that he is gay. They've been married for 17 years, and he's discovered that he's gay. And so now the wife has come out saying, If he was leaving me for a woman, it would be unforgivable. But since he's leaving me for a man, and that is his truth, then I forgive him and I'm proud of him. And I want him to still have a relationship with my kids, our kids. So now, because we don't have a foundation of anything that is right or wrong, now you have a wife whose husband is leaving her, applauding him leaving her family. That's twisted stuff, right? That is the world that we're living in. And if we come back down to basic theology, your life is going to be so much better because Christ tells us how to live.
Woo, well, and yes. And I'm reminded of a couple of things. One, God is the same today, yesterday, and forever.
Yes.
And then there's the parable about the house built on the sand and the house built on the rock.
Yes.
And it seems like, you know, some of that rock is turning to sandstone and it's woo, kind of crumbling away.
It's interesting that you say that because my book, chapter one, is actually called Built on the Rock. The very first Bible story that I begin the book with is that story. Jesus said, the person that hears my words and believes them and acts upon those words will be like someone that builds their house on a rock. It is unshakable foundation. No matter what storm happens in your life, whether your mom dies from cancer like my mom did when I was a teenager, whether your parents get divorced, whether you get sick, whether you get COVID, whether there's a pandemic, whether you can't pay your bills, no matter what happens in your life, you will be unshakable because you're built on a foundation that never changes. But Jesus says, the person that hears my words but doesn't act on them is like a person who builds his house on sand and it washes away. And if you need any proof that we are living in a culture that builds a house on the sand, turn the TV on. That's what this is, even in the church. And that is why so many Christians are falling away from their faith, or they're falling into sin, or they're like, well, I don't really know if that's that big of a deal if I commit adultery, or if it's that big of a deal if I watch pornography, or if it's that big of a deal that I cheat on my taxes. You do these things, and all of a sudden your foundation is washed away because your actions prove that you did not believe the words of Christ. And now your life is just in shambles. It's really sad. And God wants to rescue those people and bring them into alignment with the word of God, put them on a sure foundation, and your life will be so much better.
So let's talk a little bit about the culture infiltrating the church a little bit. And one of the things that I've heard so much in the last few months is, if you're a Christian, X.
Right.
Throw it on whatever side of the coin that you want. I've heard it go both ways, but we kind of have that in the church as well of, here's my opinions, and if you're truly Christian, you will agree with my opinion and my stance. Right. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of what the book covers?
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. Let me start first, if I can, with what the book covers, because that will lead into answering the question. So the book is called Awake and Alive to Truth, and it gives you basically two different paths to try to find truth in my tiny brain. In my tiny brain, there's two ways you can find truth, try to find truth. One of those paths is going to lead you to life. The other path is going to lead you to death. The road that leads to life is that you realize that you cannot trust yourself. You have to trust in something outside of yourself that has the eternal answers, and that is Jesus Christ. How do we know what Jesus Christ thinks? We have his words written down. The book takes you through that path of why you should trust the word of God as your authority. But the other path, if you say, no, I don't want to trust Jesus, I want to do something different, well, then that path means you're trusting in yourself. It means that I think within my heart and my tiny brain, I have everything that I need to give me the answers to life. I just know in my heart what I'm supposed to do. I'll follow my heart. I'll be the real me. I'll be my truest self. I'm going to just do me. You do you, right? You believe what you believe, but I know what's true within myself. You are following now, not the path of Christ. You're following the path of your own self. And that is going to lead you into death. That's what the Bible talks about. So it takes you on a journey through some of the philosophies of the day so you can understand what's actually happening of relative truth, a tiny bit of critical race theory, identity politics, what that means. Not too much. But you have to get into philosophy of the day. Chapter two in the book is called Your Truth, My Truth, The Truth. And the idea of that is explaining why people say, well, that's my truth. And the fact that if you live in a world where your truth is different than mine, then what that means will be mutually self-assured destruction, okay? Because what you do to follow your truth may actually hurt me. Much like the couple that I told you about, a married couple. Well, he's following his truth into homosexuality and leaving his wife because that's his own truth, but he's actually hurting his family in doing so. So his truth is hurting people that he claims to love, right? So that's kind of what it takes you through. Then it takes you through, if you can't trust in your feelings, then you have to trust in something greater, and that is authority of scripture. So if you were to ask me who this book is for, I would say this. This book is extremely evangelistic. It leaves you with a gospel message. This is how you give your life to Jesus. This is how he will make you a brand new creation, and he'll give you what you thought you could never have. The truth of Christ is so wonderful. It leads you through repentance, and then God gives you a brand new heart. But it's also for the person who believes in Christ that doesn't quite understand what they believe exactly and doesn't understand the world around them and doesn't know how to combat it. It's a little bit apologetics oriented in that way. So I think that it's a really strong book. I always tell people this book is theology for dummies. It's for people that go, man, I can't sit through a John Calvin theology book. I can't do that. You can sit through this book. It'll only take you about 4 hours to read the whole book. So that's who it's for. Now, in order to answer your question, we are in a very polarized time. I will say this. I don't like the polarization, but it's actually necessary in terms of this. If we don't believe that the Bible is the authority of God, then we can't agree on anything else. You know what I mean? In other words, if we can't agree that the Bible is the authority when it comes to sexual morality or this and the other, then why would we agree that Mary was a virgin? You know what I mean? Why would we agree that Jesus literally died on a cross? And some people say, well, I do believe he died, but I don't believe that he literally rose from the dead. Well, if you look at the Bible with relative truth, then you don't have to believe he rose from the dead. You don't have to believe that Jesus even came physically. Maybe it was all just made up. So there can be no true unity if we don't have truth. So I don't like the polarization of, if you don't vote for fill in the blank, then you're not a Christian. I don't like that kind of polarization because I think there's a greater issue. It's not about who you vote for. It's about authority of scripture. And then you can begin to talk about the other issues. So I personally say to people, if we can't agree that the Bible is the authoritative word of God and that it will always be right. And if you disagree with the Bible, then you have a problem, not the Bible. If we can't agree on that, then we will not have unity at all. But if we can agree on that, then I personally have a lot of grace for Christian brothers and sisters. We may disagree about predestination, limited atonement versus universal. We may disagree about those things. We may disagree about modern worship music versus hymns. To me, I've got a lot of grace for those things, because we can argue vigorously if we believe that the word is the final answer.
Well, I'm all in for theology for dummies. Like, that's my spirit animal right there. Oh, mercy. I need that so bad.
I love that. Well, for parents, I don't know who's watching, but if you're a parent or a youth leader, that sort of thing, this will be really great for your youth kids or your teenagers, whatever. It's orthodox theology. Now, can I guarantee you'll agree with all of it? Here's what I can guarantee. I'm not saying new stuff. I'm saying old stuff, all right? We talk about original sin. Every single person is tainted with original sin. You cannot get to heaven on your own merit. It's impossible. Talk about you can't trust your emotions. We talk about the fact that God is love, but God is also just. And so justice demands a punishment for sin. So this is old wisdom. This isn't new stuff. So if those are things that you would be interested in your teenagers or college students understanding, it could be a good book for that.
Well, we appreciate you being our first returning guest. All the prestige that comes in with that. Yay. And like, we're excited for the book. And man, we got to get this Outbearded YouTube series going here.
I mean, there's a lot. I got books. We got Outbearded YouTube things. Hey, actually, I want to tell people, there's only one place you can buy the book right now. Literally only one place, and that is my website, johnlcooper.com. johnlcooper.com. And if you want to go straight to the book, you just put /awake. johnlcooper.com/awake. It's the only place you can get it because in order to write the book I wanted to write, full disclosure, I had to self-publish it. I honestly think that it's just a little too raw. I think it was a little too much like, this is what it means to follow Christ. I just felt we need that black and white. This is the gospel. And if you don't follow it, then you're not in the gospel. You're building your house on the sand. And in order to do that, I had to self-publish the book. So if you want it, johnlcooper.com.
With this podcast, I'm guaranteeing a signed copy for everybody.
Every single listener. We're
going to
give
that.
Away more yeah. than we're selling.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, we appreciate it, and we are excited for this book.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you doing it. To everybody watching out there, I hope you guys keep rocking, and thank you so much for watching.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.